morning. I don't know what you all are thinking about this morning, but I've been thinking about this one hymn we sang this morning. Number 230, in verse 4 there, the writer is asking what we can give to God, or what we can give to the Lord as in devotion to Him. And he says, "The odors of Edom, the offerings divine, gems of the mountain, and pearls of the ocean, myrrh from the forest, or gold from the mine." And it wouldn't take too many of any of those things before we would have a tremendous wealth of things. And I don't know that any of us would have access to all those things. And then he goes on and says that giving those things are vain, but giving our heart's adoration and our prayers to God are richer, far richer than those things all put together. And that blessed me as I thought about that, because that's something that each one of us can do, no matter our financial situation. We can give God our worship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning, and I ask, Father, that you would take the thoughts that I have, that you would take my lips, and that you would use it for your glory, and that you would be here with us, Father. Be the head of this service and move through us, Father. We just give it to you. Father, I don't have much of anything to give, but I pray that you would bless it, and that you would bless it to each life. And just take these lips and use them for your glory, Father. I pray that you would have your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I was thinking about different things. Since we are at the time when the birth of Jesus was celebrated, I was thinking down those lines. But maybe in a little bit of a... if we could turn to Luke chapter 1. And I'll read a passage of Scripture here. Luke chapter 1, in verse 26. We'll read through 56. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored among women. Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read verses 20 and 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. All right. So you may be wondering, where do these verses come together? Where do these verses intersect? And how does this come together? But with the thoughts that I had, I was thinking about vessels that God can use, and the fact that Mary was a vessel that God could use to perform the promise that he had made to bear our Savior. Why did God choose Mary as a vessel? We see she met all the criteria of the promises. She was in the correct lineage. She was a virgin. But why her? If we look at the lineage of Joseph, and the lineage in Luke is believed to be the lineage of Mary. If we look at those lineages, we go back and we see that it was the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of David, the son of Abraham, Isaac. We think, oh, we're doing pretty good here. Everything's lining up. We have important people. We have a king here, and we keep moving on down, and then it's a lot of nobodies. And you come to the end of it, and it's a carpenter. It's a carpenter in Nazareth, and a young girl that he's engaged to be married to. Besides their genealogy, what recommended them? And I want us to think about that, and think of it in the light of us being vessels. What it says in 2 Timothy that we can actually be vessels that are fit for God to use, vessels that He wants to use. If we look in verse 38 of Luke chapter 2, we get a little clue as to we can see how she responded. I don't know exactly why God chose that, but we get a little clue as to how she responded, maybe why God chose her. In verse 38, Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. God doesn't look for someone that's worthy to be used. Because I don't think any of us, when we're all done with ourselves and when we break it all down and take away all our pretenses, we're not worthy for God to use us. It's not because we're perfect. But God's looking for a willing life, someone that doesn't fight with Him when He wants to use them, but someone that says, someone that can say, be it unto me according to thy word. If we go on to verse 45, verse 46, and read through verse 56, we see some more things here in the way that Mary responded. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." She didn't think very highly of herself. She was not, she knew that she wasn't worthy of this call, and yet she was willing to be used. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." "He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." "And as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So we just see the worship that she had for God. She knew that it wasn't about her. And and that's where the value, if God uses us, if we want to be used of God, the value is not in the vessel itself. The value is not in us. I believe that human life has intrinsic value. But when it comes to accomplishing God's work, the value is not in us ourselves, but it is the thing that is, but it is in the contents of the vessel. And I had an illustration that I wanted to use for that. I have several vessels here. I have to see if I can get this one open. Some of you may know what's in this little clear container, but we have a little, or this opaque container. We have a little container here, and then we'll just use this one for other ones. So we have three vessels up here, and this one's larger, and it may be, I mean, you could paint it, you could make it nice. This one has water in it, and you could argue, depending on where you're at, water is very valuable. But this one's just small. You can't see what's in it. It's kind of ugly. But if we open it and take it out, we have two silver coins in there, in that small vessel. So according to that, can we conclude that a small, plain, opaque vessel is more valuable than the larger one? I don't think so, because we can take these two silver coins and we can put them right there. And now that vessel is the one that's valuable, has the most value. Or we could take those and we could put them in the water cup. And the point is that it's not, the value is not in the vessel, but it is in the contents of the vessel. It is in God moving into that life and dwelling there, and then it has true value. I'm trying to remember the scripture. It says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. It is when God wants a vessel to be used that he can, not that he can tell us what to do and we can just go do it, but he wants a vessel that's emptied of itself that he can come into and then work out his will. Being a vessel for God is not about us, but about God. And God getting the glory. The vessel doesn't get the glory. It's the good thing in the vessel that gets the glory. I wanted to turn to 2 Timothy 2 again, to that scripture we had read there. I want to talk a little bit about becoming a vessel for God. In 2 Timothy 2, we'll read verse 20 and 21 again. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, if we purge ourselves, if we go back to verse 19 actually, at the end of that verse, it says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if we depart from iniquity and purge the wood and the earth and the dishonorable things from our life, and I don't know what you think of when you think of purging. I think purging is more than just taking this cup of water and dumping it out, but it's if we had a pipe and it had something in it that we didn't want in there, and you would hook it up to a spigot, and you would turn the spigot on, and as the water comes out of the spigot and goes through that pipe, it pushes out the thing that's in there that you don't want, and as it fills with something else. And I think that's what God wants to do, to take, not just take the things out of our life that are not good, but to fill us with Himself. And many times, when there's things in our lives that are ugly and that God doesn't want there, the way that God wants to deal with us is not just to take those out and then He'll fill us, but as He fills us, those things come out. Those things get taken out of us. I don't think God wants us to get our act together and get everything right in our life, and then we come to Him and ask Him to fill us. I think He wants us to come to Him the way that we are and ask Him to take those out and fill us, and as we are filled with Him, those things come out. And it says that as those things are purged out, that man, if a man is purged from those things, he will be a vessel unto honor. And he'll be sanctified, set apart, and useful for God to use, and prepared to every good work. Anything that comes up that needs to happen, that God asks of us, we're ready for that. And it's not because we've gotten our life together and now God can use us. It's because, remember, the value is not in the vessel, but in the contents of the vessel. And that God is in that life, and as God is in that life, and that life is purged of the things that hold it back, then God uses that, and we can be useful. The thing that has impressed me, looking at Mary and her response to Jesus, was her response to God asking her to do this thing was, she was willing. She was willing to do it, but it was never about her. It was about God and her being willing to let God do what God wanted to do. And so that was, I wanted to leave you with those thoughts. And they bless me as I think about them this year. As we're at the time when Jesus' birth is celebrated, that each one of us has something that God wants to use us for. And we're not just little nobodies that God doesn't see, but God has something for us, and He has made a way for us to be useful for Him, if we're willing and if we let Him use us. But it's never about us. It's never about what we can accomplish for God, but it's about allowing God to work through us. That's all I have. God bless you.